is. That's it. Okay.
I'm trying to recruit gay people to move here and open businesses. I think it's a great retreat area. It's a very safe area. Just recently, having nothing to do with the gay issue, I got threatened by somebody in another way. And, I mean, somebody else, the town manager, heard about it, and they were the two biggest police officers we have in the area were on the front door. So, I mean, they're very, very attentive. Hello? This is Doug. Oh, hey, Boo. I thought I recognized the number. That's okay. All right, bye. Yeah, I've been actually, and I'm currently involved in a project to try and build a gay retirement neighborhood in Nashville. Although I've been trying to get the partner who's most interested in it into doing it closer to this area, because I think this is an ideal area for it. I want to call it a gated community, G-A-Y-T-E-D.
That's nice. You know, we have a gated community outside of Boone.
I didn't know that.
We
do. Oh, you know, I have seen it. I saw that online.
Caring Cove.
We researched that, and there's one in Arizona.
Carefree Cove, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did look into those. But I think we could just as easily have one here. I think this is the perfect place for it. You don't need a gate, but trying to get somebody from New Jersey to move here and feel safer is just the way to present it. So, yeah, I think this is an ideal place to live. Several reasons. The real estate's still very affordable here. There are some incredible houses.
I saw a few carry through.
And they're the ones that you don't see that are absolutely
really?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Very affordable, very welcoming. We need flower shops. We need nursery. I mean, we need all the perfectly things that people immediately associate with kind of a gay business. We need those. And there are so many artists and musicians here that it's just a natural place to be. One thing I didn't tell you, and it goes back to 1979, 80, and 81. When I left, I was at Florida State, and I went to Dallas, Texas for a two-week vacation. I ended up coming home 2 years later. I ended up, through a long series of situations, being recruited by the FBI to go in to service. And I was trained at the Dallas Police Department. This was in 1979 and 80, and the Dallas Police Department was not very open-minded. Again, my FBI file background information, I'm sure that had to be in that file because it's very detailed. I even lived in a gay neighborhood in a gay high-rise. But I went into the Dallas Police Academy and had a very bad experience. There were rumors that I was gay, and of course I didn't deny it. I went to the gay bar. I never even thought about it. It just didn't occur to me. And so, but they started making life very difficult. I started getting threats from police officers as well as other people. And it made the news. And I got called into a sergeant's office. There was only one thing worse than being gay, apparently, in Dallas and in the police, and being a police officer. And that was to be a white person married to a black person. That was really the only thing that was any worse. And I had a friend I went to the academy with who was on the mounted police, and he was married to an African-American woman. And he was basically tortured to the point where they split. And he asked me, did I have a place that he could stay, because they couldn't afford two houses until they figured everything out. And I had this wonderful high-rise, five-bedroom kind of penthouse apartment in a very nice section of Dallas, because I'd had a very good job there. And I said, yeah, I said, but this is the deal. You know, I'm gay, you know, whatever. He's like, I don't really care, you know. So he moved in. And one day we both got called into a lieutenant's office. And I could hear everything they asked him. And one of the questions was, is he a homosexual? But I couldn't hear what this fella answered. But I also knew that if when he walked out, if he looked at me straight in the eye, I knew that he hadn't said anything that was intentionally mean. And they ended the interview with him, which was probably 15 or 20 minutes. And he came out and he looked right at me, right in the face. And I walked in very confident, and they did not ask me the same questions. But what they said was that if people think you're gay, you know, when the next time you call for backup, it's just not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's kind of threatening. I mean, you know, you're talking about people with guns and stuff chasing other people around with guns and stuff, mm-hmm. so that could be a little bit of a situation. And I was being groomed towards more undercover type things at that point. And so then as I'm leaving, they told me they had made an appointment at the police psychiatrist. This is a psychiatrist who was employed by the police department. So I went down to see him on the appointed time. And I'm sitting across from him at his desk. I have my 1 hour set aside. And he made it very clear when I got there that that I must be able to imagine having come through the academy and seeing all the different things, and how busy one psychiatrist would be for the entire Department of Dallas, which was one of the largest forces in the country. And so it was a matter of, like, you got an hour, we need to, like, really get through this hour and hit whatever hot points we need to. And he says, I've reviewed your file. I know why they sent you here. He said, is there anything you want to talk about? Because this is of no importance to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of like, so you don't care? He's like, this is not an issue at all. I said, well, you know, they told me when I radio for backup, I'm not going to get it. And his whole demeanor changed. And he said, he explored that a little bit more. And he was the one who made it obvious to me that that was a threat on my life, frankly. And he got very concerned and very interested in it and pursued it at that point and gave me some guidance. And without picking up the phone and dialing an attorney, basically got me to the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
And the ACLU took it very seriously. Unfortunately, and I'm not embarrassed about this because, I mean, to the extent I'm also not, I was at times embarrassed to be around my little brother. That's how effeminate he is. And I've been in situations where you're going to get beat up if you're not careful. And I don't like to throw things in people's faces. That's just not me. That's not my style. It is my little brother's style to go way over the top.
Yeah.
And this attorney that the ACLU assigned me was over the top. And that embarrassed me to the extent that that didn't represent me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what a jury or a judge or whoever is going to see, is this really Nelly guy. And that's not me. So I decided to go back to Florida and fight it from Florida. And we did fight it. And it never made it to trial. But what happened was the chief of police went on television and offered me my job back, which was the only way he could gracefully get out of it. And I was being groomed towards undercover, so that just blew the cover. So that mean it made it impossible for me to go back to work. But it also made it possible for them to get on with the life of the police department.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, and probably I think within a couple months of when I was doing this, there was a guy in Los Angeles that was undergoing something very similar. So between the notoriety of my case and his case, major metropolitan police departments after that point had to openly recruit gay police officers.
Mm-hmm.
They realized it was becoming, you know, there were gay neighborhoods, there were gay areas that you kind of had to police. So it, going through the police academy did several things for me. I had a great deal of confidence because I was athletic at boarding school. I played college athletics. But the self-defense training and the weaponry training and the driving training that they put you through made me feel like, no, I could face anybody no matter what the case, unless they could hit me from out of my range kind of thing. So that gave me a confidence I had never had before in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably, even though I never went into law enforcement, beyond moving back to Florida, I went back to college, I think that did a lot. And it made me more aware of, I can't say I know how a black person feels, because you can see a black person and get to pick on them. Some gay people you can't figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did get to feel like people, you know, I did get to feel discrimination. I actually got to feel that based on people knowing. So I got to feel a side that I never wished I had to feel or anyone else would have to at that point. And I never saw myself going into politics 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want to be mayor. So I think
you can cut that out.
Yeah, do cut that out. But I actually do intend to, if there's a fellow on the council that I like very much, and if he were to run for mayor, I would support him wholeheartedly. If he's not going to, because the mayor ran unopposed last time, I will run for mayor next time. Provided everything still is going forward in business and everything seems to be good. And the two, I think he may have to run every 2 years. I'd have to give up my seat to run.
Yeah.
But if it's 4 years, I'll run instead of for council, I'll run for mayor. Because I think I'm an idea person, and the mayor doesn't get a vote. He's a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dangerous with that vote.
I think they've realized that, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm dangerous with that vote because I have these forward-thinking ideas and I kind of push them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good at following through on the ideas and telling me why they will or won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be much better sitting one seat over going, here's some ideas, pick them apart and let's go forward, because I'm not the detail person.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a council member, you pretty much have to go through these budgets and all this stuff I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So I rely heavily on the other people, and I think of new things that we can create, which is what the mayor, in my opinion, should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's not doing that, but mm-hmm. he and I have different ideas. So I would go that direction if next time the opportunity mm-hmm. avails itself.
Well, saying that, you have this idea about the gated community and making this sort of a retirement spot. How do you think the rest of the town would feel about that? Do you think the rest of the town wants to encourage that being their dimension of growth?
If it isn't thrown in their face quite that way,
mm-hmm.
if you put billboards out on the interstate that said, if you're gay, come on over here and live, no one's going to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
If we advertised in the Atlanta and Charlotte areas in the gay rags that we've got a great community here and we've got some houses for sale and I think it would be discriminatory to have a gay community. I think we just need to have an open-minded community and just market in the gay arena. And I think it would probably fill up. And obviously everybody else that moved in would figure it out. And if they didn't like it, they wouldn't live there. So I don't think I really want a gay retirement neighborhood. But I like the gated thing, the G-A-Y-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like an open-minded community and simply market in the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody'd have a problem with that.
Hmm.
I threw that out to the tourism board.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that owns this historic Pinecrest Inn goes, I market in the gay community all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And another fellow on the tourism who's a local, I don't want it to sound derogatory, but he's a local, more country
mm-hmm.
person. He's like, bring them on, and I want their tax dollars if they'll shop in my, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty much the overall feeling of everyone in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go back to the horse community, which we have a great deal of, and can't put this in there either, but hell, a lot of the women.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you scratch this out when it comes back to
them. I mean, I'd hate to think I'm accusing all the women horse riders of being lesbians or something, but, you know, the reality is I know a lot of them.
Yeah.
And... you know, the gay people are here pretty well off.
Mm-hmm.
The retired ones, the working ones, they're all pretty well off. And they're all very comfortable here, and mm-hmm. nobody worries about. You know, hell, the cafe and wine bar, some nights will be a total gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the crowd that ends up there. And we have a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's great.
I don't think, like I said, I think it would be not approved of if we went after a gay market and did it in such a way that was over the top.
Yeah.
But I think simply marketing in gay areas to bring people to this area, everybody would be in favor of. Or they wouldn't be against it. Let's put it that way.
People were pretty practical, it sounds
right.
like.
Right, and economically minded.
That makes sense. I know our time is running a bit short. You have until about 5, right?
So no, we're good. I can probably be gone by 5. Six.
I'm good. But so, how do you think it is for the rest of the sort of Appalachian region? Is Tryon just sort of in trying in Asheville just sort of in both Oasis?
I think so. I don't know the Hendersonville area that well. Mm-hmm. I know a few gay people that live in Hendersonville, but I don't know that they congregate in Hendersonville. Mm-hmm. Asheville's just a destination, mm-hmm. just because historically it is. And I don't really know about Boone in that area, mm-hmm. but being a college town, I think it'd mm-hmm. have to be pretty open-minded. I do know that during the last presidential election, this was the only blue county. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, I'm a registered Republican. Mm-hmm. So
that is interesting.
Well, and that's because when my mother was married to husband number three, who adopted me, and I registered to vote, we were just Republicans. Mm-hmm. And we were friends of the friends and associates of the people current in the of people in the White House at that time, mm-hmm. and it was just a natural thing to do. And I just never changed it. Mm-hmm. I think it's I'm not into labels that much. I just never bothered to change it. Mm-hmm. So it's a joke around here that I'm a Republican. So, but it was the only blue county. Hmm. In the last election, so that kind of tells you some of the area. Brevard is very open-minded, mm-hmm. but has a college, and also has the music center, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of arts there. Probably Highlands is very open-minded, again, you have very wealthy gay people there. So there's no controversy around that. There's mm-hmm. They don't bring issues. There's no needs. Mm-hmm. Like in Asheville, I can see, you need a place to meet for the different groups and that sort of thing. So I could see in a town that wasn't open-minded mm-hmm. where some of those things might cause problems. But, just around here, I don't see it. Maybe going towards Forest City or Rutherfordton, I don't really know those towns. Mm-hmm. I would get the impression, not knowing them, that they might be a little more closed-minded, but I might be 100% mm-hmm. wrong. A friend of mine who just graduated from the high school here used to work for us, and I asked him last year, before he graduated, if there were gay people at the high school that he was aware of. Mm-hmm. And he said yes. And I said, well, do they get picked on? He said no. I said, well, that's good. I said, I hope... as open-minded as you are, being around us, mm-hmm. that you would bring a different perspective to people who might be narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. He says, no, there's gay couples at school. Hmm. They're just like the boyfriend-girlfriend. They'll be boyfriend-boyfriend and girlfriend-girlfriend, and nobody mm-hmm. gives anybody any crap about it. So I was amazed.
That's pretty amazing.
So for this county, it's pretty open-minded. And Tryon, of the major towns that are in this county, Saluda, Tryon, and Columbus. Tryon being the biggest and the oldest and the one that has the most name recognition. Mm-hmm. And the other ones, I think, probably built up around the area. I would have thought might have been a little more narrow-minded, but apparently aren't.
Wow. Well, now, you mentioned being involved in several things up in Asheville. What have you been involved with up there?
When I lived there, there was a group called Closer.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, right? that's an old group there. Mm-hmm. The Gay Men's Chorus, I was on their board. We had this group called the Asheville Supper Club. Mm-hmm. It still exists. When I lived there, I'm a kind of a social guy. When I lived there, I went to a couple of these covered dish suppers, and there were about 20 people, 25 people that would constantly go. Yeah. And the guy that was in charge of it kind of got tired of being in charge of it, and the internet was just coming along. Yeah. And so I volunteered with a group of three other people that we would further the group somehow. Mm-hmm. One of the members, it was coming on election, and he wanted this particular person to be elected, and he was trying to kind of use the group in that direction a little bit, which I wasn't for. One of the other people was getting ready to move to California, so he dropped out. And then there was another person who dropped out for some other reason. But anyway, I ended up holding the bag in this group of people. But in a very short period of time, we got a Yahoo group mm-hmm. together. When I left, after 2 years, I had it up to 500 plus people.
Wow.
And when I left, I was more than that. And I still get all their stuff. I haven't really been involved in it, although I wrote the guy and said, you know, if you need a place to host, because I would bring them down here, even after I moved here, Christmas in July. And we'd get, you know, 40, 50 people show up.
Wow.
And so the group was large. It had a lot of clout. And if you needed something, you could go to that Yahoo group and say, okay, I've got a kid here who needs whatever. He got kicked out. He got, you know, whatever it is. And, I mean, the outpouring would be tremendous. But when I moved away from there, it wasn't logical for me to continue to try and coordinate it. But that group, you could, if anything came along politically, needs-wise, whatever, you could put it out to that group and you'd get a myriad of opinions. And so that was probably, and that developed through Closer. I mean, that was a group that I just kind of merged the Closer group into, and I ended up being president of Closer for a while. And I got involved in, I go to attend something, and then I open my big mouth. And by the time you open your mouth, you're in charge. And, you know, you're, and that's, so that's how I get involved in different things. Because I'm not very good, goes back to the council situation as well, I'm not a very good committee person. I'll come up with an idea. I'll give some ways to make the idea work. I'll put the energy in it to start the idea. But then I want to go create something else. And other people who those skills are, how to develop the ideas, kind of fill in and do that. That's kind of what I like to do. So, and there, I'm sure there's a couple other groups in Asheville. I just don't remember what they are right now. But I've been here 4 years and it's gotten kind of busy. So.
Okay. I think the last thing I particularly want to know, although actually I guess before I'll ask that, what else would you like to talk about?
I think community-mindedness from the perspective of Tryon is what I'm concentrating on right now. And I think that if a group of people moved here, this could be a Key West, this could be a Saugatuck, Michigan, this could be this could be a gay Mecca in the mountains. Not that Asheville isn't, but this could be, Key West is so much smaller, and Saugatuck, Michigan, these are just quaint little villages. I would like to see this develop into something like that and have businesses on the main street that satisfied that base. Dress shops, flower shops, you know, just lots of restaurants, gift shops. We have some great musical venues here that we don't take advantage of. We have a fine arts center that seats 300 plus people. We have an outdoor arena that seats 220 for music. We have, and we're a community of 1,700 people. And we have this 55-acre park that is probably unsurpassed by any community that's 10 times the size of us. I'd like to see this be a little area that people either came as second homes or primary homes and developed it into a very classy, very cool little getaway spot. And I think it could very easily be that, cleverly marketed, without coming out and saying, y'all, come on over here, you know, bring the flags and let's go to town. I just think we could have a very subtle approach to making this a great place. And then it could get a, it could develop the wilder side a little bit more once the base was here. And I don't, and that would be a goal of mine, to make this an area that that people would really consider retiring if they were gay and in a relationship or not. The hardest thing is to be single and gay and young in this area, because there's not a lot of young people there. Let me feed them, because that is why they're really being
obnoxious. And I've got one last question for you anyway. That gives me a chance to eat a chip.
Yeah, because it does sound loud and crunchy on
I've got a new puppy waiting for me to get home.
Know the feeling.
So, I guess my last question, what made you decide you wanted to participate in this?
I get a gazillion emails, and someone suggested it. Yeah. I thought, okay, that's a good idea. Pretty much it.
Okay. Simple.
Disappointing answer, but
no, not at all.
No, there's nothing.
Yeah, people do for different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, some people wrote and said, you know, consider this.
Ooh. Well, I'm glad you did. That's, I think that's... Hi there. Hi there.
That is that's very
really interesting. Oh, really? Well, hello. Cute.
See, he's already expecting.
You just want to know what's going on everywhere. How many pugs do you have?
Two.
Two.
Two basset hounds and four cats.
Wow, that's a houseful. Nice to meet you, buddy. Awesome. Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
I'm sure I'll
appreciate
think of all
your
sorts
time.
Of things I should have said.
Well, if you do, let us know. You can always add to them or we'll put them in. So.